Thanks, guys. Our focus tonight is just really on two verses, but I'd like to just read a couple of extra verses to give you a context. Peter writes to Christians who have been scattered because they have been persecuted, and he writes and he tells them in 1 Peter, the first letter he wrote, chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "This is what we are, because of what we have just celebrated, this is what we are. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people," that's when we were still rebels against God, we weren't his people, "but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy because we didn't accept the mercy. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And then he goes on, and this is what I want to look at tonight. "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans," in other words, those who don't know Jesus, "live such good lives among those who don't know Jesus that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us." In another place, Jesus compares Christians to salt. And now that's a really good comparison. I bet each one of us have had an experience where maybe the lid suddenly came off the salt, or, I don't know, you just put a bit too much salt on your food. And even though it might not have been such a lot extra, it had spoiled the food. It just, even that tiny amount extra just made such a big difference to that food. See, the fact is, a little bit of salt can make a big difference. And that is precisely why Jesus compared Christians to salt. You see, you only need a few Christians to make a big difference. And the question that we're going to be looking at tonight really is, how can we do that? How can a few Christians make a big difference? Well, as we look at this text that Peter wrote, as he writes to these Christians who have been scattered abroad, who are living in hostile territory, he says that the way we're going to make a difference has to start with us recognizing our status in society. What is our status in society? Well, he says we are aliens and strangers in the world. He's telling us that Christians are like strangers living in a foreign country. Think about that for a minute, because you're going to be thinking about it when you have your discussion time just now, and ask yourself the question, is it true? Are we like strangers and foreigners in a different country? Well, think about the stuff that Christians do. Now, Sunday mornings, Christians are in church. Sunday evenings, yeah, you are in church. And I'm thinking particularly about a Sunday morning. When we are in church, what is the rest of the community in which we live? What are they doing? Are they in church? Well, probably not. They're on the beach. They're doing sport. They're reading the newspaper. Maybe they're just sleeping. So our behavior, being in church when they're doing all that other stuff, seems a bit strange, doesn't it? The students in Stellenbosch used to plan what they called Little Saturday. Nie hulle was Afrikaans gewees, so dit was nie eintlik Little Saturday nie, dit was Klein Saterdag gewees. And Klein Saterdag was getting ready for the Big Saturday. This was just kind of getting them through the week, Little Saturday, Klein Saterdag. And at university they would plan Klein Saterdag. And I had to learn a new vocabulary there, and they would plan to go massive on Little Saturday. Now, it took me a while, but I realized that going massive meant they were planning to get drunk. That was the language. For them, that was normal. That's what they did on a Wednesday night. Man, they thought that the Christian students were pretty alien, that they preferred to be in a Bible study on a Wednesday night, like aliens and strangers. I guess you could say not sleeping with your partner in our context would be considered pretty alien and strange compared to how most people regard that. And so Peter calls us aliens and strangers because Christians are different from those among whom we live. And the reason for this is simple. When we accept Jesus, we become citizens of a different country. We become citizens of heaven, but we still live here. And it's in this context of being citizens of heaven, living here, that we have Jesus' challenge. You are to be salt of the earth. Now, we might not be citizens of this world. We might be relatively few in our community, but the truth is we can make a big difference in this world. I was listening to a talk on Christian work amongst Chinese people in Johannesburg. And what happens is that Chinese business people, they come and they start a mall, like the China Mall we have here in Springfield Park. And then they go to China and they recruit workers in China, and then they have an area in which these Chinese workers live. And the life of these Chinese people are kind of revolves around them sleeping in their sleeping area and then traveling to the China Mall, and they're like living in this bubble. That's all they do. They sleep and they work and they travel between the sleeping place and the working place. It's almost like these people are in a sealed-off bubble. They are sealed off from the rest of Johannesburg. If somebody's not in that bubble of China Mall, where they live and how they commute, well, these Chinese workers will have no contact with anybody else except those people. Those dear Chinese folk are aliens and strangers. They are citizens of China, living in South Africa, but with very little local interaction. As Christians, we are aliens and strangers. We are citizens of heaven, living in South Africa. But this is where we are different. We have an instruction to engage with the culture in which we live. Salt in the salt cellar doesn't make a difference to the food. It has to get out, get into the food. Who's going to go to Union Square and buy a hamburger after church? Hey? Doesn't that pretty good? I put that picture and then I immediately thought of Union Square. Christians may feel the most comfortable in church. After all, we are with people who are like us, people who think like us, people who behave like us, who accept us, who understand us. But here's the problem. Jesus doesn't want that. You are the salt of the earth. We have to get out there and we have to make a difference to the community and the culture in which we live, which brings us back to the question we started with. How are we going to do that? Well, in this little text, Peter's got some ideas. They may seem pretty simple, but there's some good ideas that I think we need to give our attention to. And the idea revolves around being different as we live in this culture. And so he tells us, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. You want to know how to make a difference? Well, we start by living holy lives. Now, that word holy, it simply means different. We've got to live different lives from the way some of the folk in our community live. In other words, don't do the stuff that those who are not citizens of heaven do. Be different from them. Peter doesn't say it, but let me give you a word of caution. We must live holy lives, but we must do it without being holier than thou. There is nothing more off-putting than a self-righteous person, especially a self-righteous Christian. Horrible animal. Self-righteous Christians, dreadful. You want to turn someone off who doesn't know the Lord? You just be holier than thou. Be self-righteous. Be religious. That's a big turn-off. That's not what Peter is saying. He says, be different. And you know what? People will wonder why. And then you can tell them. Gives the opportunity. So Peter goes on and he says, live such good lives among your neighbors. Live such good lives among your neighbors. We make a mistake when we think that in order to make a difference among the people, we first have to be accepted by them. And that the way to be accepted by them is to live like they do. But there is a strange truth. People who don't know Jesus, listen to me, people who don't know Jesus know exactly how Christians ought to live. I'm pretty sure you've all heard the statement. They call themselves a Christian, look at what they are doing. You heard that statement? Of course you have. And the rest of you, how long have you had a problem with honesty? Okay? Or the person says, they go to church every Sunday. Now look what they are doing. You see, people know how Christians ought to live, which means that if we think we can be like them in order to become their friends, we are making a big mistake. All that happens is that they disrespect us. And so Peter tells us, live such good lives among your neighbors that though they accuse you of doing wrong, you pick up the warning. Even though we are living good lives, we are still going to be accused of doing stuff. Even though we are living such good lives, we are still going to experience some sort of persecution. But this mustn't put us off. For example, what kind of persecution might we experience? And this is one of the questions you're going to be asked. But here are some examples. We might find that we don't get invited to the parties that we used to get invited to. Or we might want to join a group that we used to be part of, but instead of people kind of opening up and letting us come and stand with them, we find that they close up, they don't let us in. In other words, we might find ourselves somewhat socially isolated. Or if we're among a group of people, we're going to find this one or that one telling jokes about Christians when we are there having a dig at us. In our context, the persecution we're going to experience is probably not what the Christians in ISIS countries are facing. In other words, we're not going to lose our head. But certainly, if we're living good lives in our community, we're going to face discomfort because of it. Peter recognizes it. But he's got a strategy. And as we continue with that verse, it goes like this. He says, live such good lives among your neighbors that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Get that? Even though they accuse us of doing wrong, ultimately the consistency of our lives will mean that they may see that and recognize God. Earlier, I quoted Jesus where he told us that we are salt. Well, in that same context, Jesus also had this to say. He said, you are the light of the world. Now, little candle doesn't give up much light, does it? But then later Jesus goes on to say, make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. One little light is not much, but when all our lights shine, people see the good that we do and praise the Father in heaven. And so we are salt. And as salt, we are to make a difference in our community. And we are told how to do that. How do we make a difference? By allowing our good deeds to honor God. And says Peter, when people see our good deeds, they will reassess their opinion of Christians and reassess their opinion about Jesus. And bring them to the place where they could just respond to Jesus' love for them. This message in our text is about Christians making a difference in the community. And yet Peter's strategy, it seems simple. In fact, it seems simplistic. But this is it. First, a proper understanding of who we are. Christians are like those living in a foreign culture, a culture that could be hostile towards them. But we must engage. Secondly, we make sure that we don't do the stuff we know is wrong. But let not Christians only be defined by what we don't do. Because thirdly, we must do the stuff that makes people sit up and take note. And we are to keep doing it consistently, even when people give us a hard time. So it would seem counterintuitive. But this is Peter's strategy. And I want to just paint a picture for you of how it may work. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's never responded to Jesus' love. They're not Christians. Never accepted his love and forgiveness. But yeah, you are. You're not a Christian, but you know somebody who is. And you watch them. And you notice, well, they are different. You notice their language is different. Their behavior is different. They don't lose it when people tease them. They help people in need. And even those who give them a hard time, they help. You look at this and you think, this is just too good to be true. And so you start a bit of teasing of your own. And this Christian responds with a positive attitude. Their attitude remains friendly towards you. And then one day you get some really bad news. Now your friends, they're a bit uncomfortable about this bad news. They don't know what to do with you. They don't know how to handle that. They don't know what to say. And so rather than engage you, they withdraw just because they're shy, just because they're embarrassed. So they end up ignoring you. But even though you treated this Christian badly, she or he comes and sits next to you, shows real concern, and you realize that this Christian has got something real, something that you want. Can you see how it can work like that? We can make a difference. We have a strategy. It is not a short-term strategy. It's not an overnight strategy. It's a strategy that involves us engaging. It's a strategy that involves us consistently living, honoring lives to God. And as we do that, in the end, we're not only pleasing Jesus with our lives, we're making a difference, making a potential difference in the community as we allow people to see Jesus in us, which will give us an opportunity to tell them Jesus loves them very much. Our lives can make a difference. Now we're going to have half a dozen questions that are going to appear on the board, and we're going to talk about them. And if there's something that you don't understand or something that I said you didn't understand, I'm going to be around. Grab me and talk to me. This is a great opportunity not to just sit there and be lectured, but to talk and engage with me, but certainly with each other around a couple of questions which will appear on the board shortly. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for